Thank you for having me.
Well, in interest of full disclosure, you are a distant cousin of Governor Romney?
In the interest of full disclosure, I am a very distant relative of Governor Romney, and one that I didn't discover until 20 years after we'd met the first time. That's how distant the relationship is. We share the same great-great-grandfather.
Okay, let's talk about the kind of the main criticism that has been leveled at from both sides of the political spectrum at Governor Romney. I have been critical of national candidates like Bill Clinton, Al Gore, Dick Gephardt, who were all on the issue of abortion pro-life at one time, and then as they approached the national stage to become viable national Democratic candidates, they changed, becoming pro-choice. How is Governor Romney different on the Republican side?
Well, he's consistently been pro-life in the sense, on a personal level, that never has changed. I don't know what his original position was on the choice issue, simply because when he ran for the U.S. Senate in 1994, his position was that I am personally opposed to abortion in my personal life. And for relatives of mine and friends of mine and so forth, but I'm willing to acknowledge that people have the right to make that choice for themselves. So it's a little bit different position than your conventional pro-choice, pro-life positions taken by other political candidates, and I think he's been fairly consistent about that until fairly recently when he's gotten more concerned about the pro-life side of things, and it came in the context of in vitro, considering the process that's involved in vitro fertilization, and he became more conservative on the life issue. So if there's been anything, it's been a shift to the right on the life issue over the course of his political career. But I think he's in the process of sorting out where does he stand on the issue of in vitro fertilization, which you probably know requires disposal of unused fetuses that are created for the IVF process.
So you're saying that he was personally pro-life, but publicly, how would you describe that? How would you describe how he governed with regard to the life issue?
Well, he looked at the the principle of free agency, that people have the right to choose. Because you can do something, because you can smoke cigarettes, for instance, or drink alcohol, doesn't mean that you should. That means you have the right to make that choice. So on the issue of reproductive rights, he felt that here's how I feel personally about how I'm going to run my life personally, the part of my life that I'm going to be held accountable for, and here's how I can view the right of other people to make those choices for themselves as well. One is a legal thing, one is a moral, personally moral thing.
So,
the difference there.
I mean, in that sense, he's not too different from many prominent Roman Catholic politicians who will say the same thing, but sadly, from my standpoint, they will govern for all intents and purposes and vote, if they're legislators, in a pro-choice way, although they maintain their personal opposition to abortion.
Well, you're putting words in the Mitt's mouth there. That's not what he says. He says that he would give people the right to choose for themselves what they would do, and for Mitt and his family, he would choose life over abortion, for instance.
So one of the criticisms that is often leveled against Governor Romney is that he's kind of a typical pragmatist when it comes to his politics. Doesn't this public policy change on abortion indicate that's true?
Could you ask that question one more time?
Sure. I mean, one of the criticisms is that he's politically pragmatic, and it does his change on the abortion issue, marginally pro-life to begin with, or personally pro-life to begin with, and now more publicly legislatively pro-life, doesn't that prove that to be true, the pragmatic criticism?
Well, you asked that in a kind of when did you stop beating your wife kind of way. So having responded to that question the way it was posed, the answer is no. Every politician is a pragmatist and looks at the numbers and looks at who they've got to represent and who they have to please, and adjusts his thinking on those matters as he can to represent those views. Does he change his core beliefs as a result of what he sees in the numbers? The answer is I don't think so. No more than any other politician does to who's seeking elective office. On the abortion issue, I've been following now for since 1994 seriously, and I haven't seen a lot of change on the abortion issue. And if anything, the change that I've seen on the abortion issue has been a move toward the right to a more conservative position since 1994.
So do you think that pro-lifers could count on a President Romney to make the life issue a top priority?
Yeah, I think they can. The question comes in my mind are the pro-lifers the kinds of people who insist on having it their way, that there is no constitutional right for a woman to choose, and if that's their position, if their position is that we can dictate how people will govern their lives, they may have some problems with a lot of candidates on the Republican side of the ledger. But if their position is we believe that abortion is not a morally justifiable action, but we recognize the constitutional right of people to choose that inappropriate action, then they'll have no quarrel with Mitt Romney or most of the other Republicans that are running for office, or the Democrats for that matter.
Does Governor Romney does he favor the overturning of Roe v. Wade?
I haven't asked him about that lately. My guess is he favors adjusting Roe v. Wade.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure what it means. It means that he may make Roe v. Wade more of a state's rights issue. That would be one possibility. It may mean that he seeks to get the Supreme Court to consider the issue as to whether it's a constitutional right or not. He may let it stand. He may leave it to the legislature, to Congress, to make a decision on which way the country is going to go on abortion.
You mentioned earlier that Governor Romney had begun to change or modify his position on the life issue when he was dealing with embryonic stem cell research. Can you detail that for us a little bit?
Well, so the story goes that a medical researcher was talking about the IVF process and said, we create all these embryos in vitro, and once the process has been completed and the couple has gotten pregnant and had the number of children they want, we have the excess embryos left over that have to be dealt with, and I think he allegedly used the word they have to be killed, and that word set the governor off and began a process that led to his rethinking the whole issue.
Let's talk a little bit about the same-sex marriage issue. How would you track Governor Romney's position then and now?
It hasn't changed. On the same-sex issue, he was opposed to it in 94. He remains opposed to same-sex marriage now. That issue has not changed at all since 1994.
People raise the issue that while governor, I believe, please correct me if I'm wrong, he was also in favor of, while it was the law, legal, in Massachusetts, he was in favor of extending insurance and other health care rights to same-sex couples. Is that true?
I'm not sure about what question you're asking. Same-sex marriage became legal in Massachusetts while he was governor. He was opposed to same-sex marriage. So as it became legal in Massachusetts, as same-sex marriage became legal in Massachusetts by law, he was obliged to enforce the law as governor and to allow same-sex couples to have equal treatment under the law regards health insurance and other benefits.
How do you think as president he would handle, because this is kind of the knife's edge issue now, it's going state by state, it is obviously a national debate. How do you think he would enter that debate as president?
The issue of same-sex marriage?
Yes.
I think by the time we get to the election in 2012, the Supreme Court will have ruled on that. And it would be my guess that he will honor, obey, and sustain whatever the Supreme Court decides on the matter. And he'll let it go at that.
Has he taken a public stance on DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act?
He's opposed to same-sex marriage, so I suppose that would be the stand, wouldn't it?
So he would be in favor of DOMA remaining the law?
He certainly doesn't oppose. He opposes same-sex marriage. So I'm looking for the argument there, and I don't see any inconsistency with the position he's taken on same-sex marriage and the existence of the DOMA amendments, proposed DOMA amendment, federal amendment, and the state-by-state DOMA amendments.
Let's talk some about his, for lack of a better word, pedigree with regard to his Mormonism. How would you describe his involvement in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? How would you characterize that, Ronald?
I would characterize him as being deeply religious.
This is
deeply, deeply and profoundly religious, deeply and profoundly Christian.
Does the Latter-day Saint have a position, an official position, on either abortion or same-sex marriage?
Sure. Are you kidding me? they were the primary leaders against same-sex marriage in California, Proposition 8. They were Proposition 8 wouldn't have been passed in California if it hadn't been for the Mormon Church. What was the other question?
Well, I guess what I'm wondering is, at this point, given what you've told us here about Governor Romney's, it sounds like you're saying he's been consistent on both the issues of abortion and same-sex marriage. That is not how he is being characterized either by his Republican opponents or by his potential Democratic opponents. Has he failed to communicate his consistency over time, or has he failed to communicate that, look, as a Mormon,
Stop. You made some claims that I need to challenge.
Sure.
Who said what, and what exactly did they say?
Well, it was reported, I think, probably by National Public Radio, by several others, that his position has changed. He has been characterized in the press as being previously pro-choice and now pro-life, and previously at least marginally in some way in favor of same-sex marriage and now opposed to it.
So the question back to you is, have we dealt sufficiently with the pro-choice issue? That we've defined, I've described him as being personally pro-life all of his life. But allowing women the right to make the choice for themselves in public life—that should be the law. That women should be able to make the right, the choice for themselves. Am I clear about that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And the second part is on what was the second claim, that he's changed his position on marriage?
Yes.
That just hasn't happened. He's never had a position where he was in favor of same-sex marriage. Never.
So when he was supporting when he is publicly supporting a woman's right to choose, has he taken heat from the Mormon Church on that, given that the Mormon Church does have a very clear pro-life stance?
Nope, he hasn't. Not so far as I know.
Can you explain why that is? I mean,
well, I don't know why it should be. He has taken a personal stand that he is opposed to abortion, as an elective abortion, as a remedy for pregnancy. But in public office, he allows women the right to choose. Mormonism teaches that we're placed in this life, to make choices for ourselves. That what we do, that we will someday be held accountable. So the way he approaches abortion is very, very Mormon, in the sense that it comes down to an individual choice, an individual making the right choice, and that has been his consistent position over the years.
Can you give us some specifics on Governor Romney's work as a church leader?
Some specifics. I'm not sure what you're looking for there, but I'd be happy to.
Well, what shape has his involvement in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints taken?
Well, he's been a leader of a congregation. He's been a leader of a region, which is called a stake. He served a mission for the church for 2.5 years when he was a young man in France. In every single role that he served, he was an effective church leader and one who worked well, ministered to the poor and new immigrants and people who didn't approach religion like he did, and has been a strong, so far as I can tell, a strong spiritual leader, both as a bishop and a stake president and as a missionary leader.
What can you tell us about his family's history in Mormonism?
His family goes back to the first days of Mormonism. Walked across the plains, became a prominent family in Salt Lake City. There are lots of Romneys there. His dad was a church leader when he was in Michigan as an executive at American Motors. His brother's been a bishop of a congregation. Practically all of his sons and not practically all of his sons and most of his relatives, so far as I can tell, are active, engaged members of the church and take. As you may know, Mormonism is a totally volunteer organization, so it depends heavily on the volunteer efforts of the members, and each one of the Romneys that I'm aware of has been fairly heavily engaged.
So, Ronald, finally, as you have followed Governor Romney these years and then also followed the course of his political career, do you think that his positions have been fairly represented? Do you think that the average voter knows Mitt Romney on those issues that we've discovered or that we've discussed here, being the life issue and the marriage issue? Do you think they know his real positions?
I don't know. That's a good question. And certainly, having done a lot of research on Romney over the years, and I began putting together the book back in 2008. I've had a chance to watch how people have reacted to him, and it's my view that people have distorted seriously his points of view. I think he looks at the world in nuanced ways, and sometimes in trying to identify those nuances and to suggest that the world is not a black and white world that we live in, and we need to address it in shades of gray kinds of issues. That sometimes his views get misconstrued inadvertently, and sometimes they get misconstrued deliberately. Is he still a misunderstood guy? The answer is obviously yes. Has he changed his mind on some key issues over the years? The answer is, like every politician, he has. Have his changes been more celebrated than others? The answer is probably. Will he survive it? The answer is probably. Has he been badgered about his religion incessantly? I've never seen anything like it, and I've been covering presidential elections since 1968, and I was aware of presidential elections going back to at least 1960 when Jack Kennedy ran for office. And the amount of abuse that Romney has taken from the Christian right, amazingly enough, because he is more like them than he's not religiously, is quite astonishing.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think the Christian right has expressed such concern and about Romney's faith?
I have no idea. I really don't, although I'm fully aware that there is some animus, heated animus that exists between some fundamentalist Christians, and I hate that label because it doesn't really capture what I'm talking about, and Mormonism. I've been aware of it for years and years and years, and we're some Christians split hairs with Mormons, with Christians, over fairly arcane doctrines, things that to an atheist or an agnostic or a regular mainline Christian, they would find astonishing and disappointing and are you kidding me kinds of things. But I realize those exist, and I get the impression that is a driver of some of the amazing prejudice that's been leveled against him. I mean, here's the one guy on the Republican side of the ticket who has bona fide Christian leadership credentials, not just a year or two, but a history of it that goes over his entire year, his entire life. And he's the one guy that the Christian right is attacking. It is an astonishing and disappointing thing to me to see that. It's amazing.
Since most confessional Catholics, the Orthodox, Lutherans, Presbyterians don't believe that Mormonism is a Christian religion, how does Governor Romney deal with that particular issue?
I don't think that's true. And there are some members of those organizations that say that, but the organizational leaders don't say that. The Archbishop of the Catholic Church, the Cardinal of Boston, doesn't say that Mormonism is not a Christian religion, for instance. And I assume that's true of most mainline Christian religions as well.
Well, but even if it's only true of some, how does Governor Romney deal with that issue, do you think?
I think he ignores it, and he should ignore it. We're not electing, as somebody has said, we're not electing preacher in chief. We're electing president, and the issue should come down to: can he competently serve? Can he represent the nation? Can he negotiate treaties with foreign countries? Can he be the commander in chief of the armed forces? Can he, and most importantly, can he get us out of this recession that we're in? Those are the key issues, like the key drivers that should be encouraging voters to vote one way or another in the forthcoming campaigns.
So how would you explain Governor Romney's inability or apparent inability at this point to rise dramatically in the polls, holding around the 20% mark with likely GOP voters right now?
Well, that's in Iowa and some states, and New Hampshire is doing much, much better than that. We'll see how it plays out as the primary election gets underway. I'm not particularly a Romney supporter, but I think it's way too early to say that the surge we've seen recently from Newt Gingrich is going to last. And but Iowa is an unusual place, and Romney clearly is having some difficulties there, and that could have an impact on the rest of the campaign. But I doubt it. Not in a fatal way. It probably will have an impact on some outcomes, but it won't be fatal to Romney across the board.
So what would you say to a social conservative voter who is concerned that a President Romney would be less than strong leading the way on issues like abortion, embryonic stem cell research, same-sex marriage? What would you say to them at this point in the race?
Well, I'd say, you know, if you want to reduce things down to a single issue, go ahead and do that and see where that gets you. If your intent is to beat President Obama in November, who I happen to think is a pretty decent president, by the way. But if your intent is to beat him, then you've got to pick a candidate who can give him a good go in November. And some of those single issue candidates that the Christian right seems to like out there aren't the people who can beat Barack Obama in November. Mitt Romney is one of the people who has consistently since I think July of 2009, has consistently been even with or ahead of President Obama in the various polls that have been conducted. And that's been a fairly consistent pattern over the course of, 3 years? The answer is, if you hate Mormon so much that you don't want one in office, by all means, elect somebody who will be there. But if you want somebody who can beat President Obama, you've got but a couple of choices. Gingrich seems to be one who might do well against President Obama. Romney consistently does well against President Obama as well. So you've got two choices. But if you want to be doctrinaire and go your own way and vote foolishly, who's to stop you? It's a free country.
Ronald Scott has written for People, Time, Life, Sports Illustrated, and Money magazine. He's author of a new book, Mitt Romney, An Inside Look at the Man and His Politics. You can find out about this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ronald, you've been very generous with your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.